In our scripture today, we encounter Moses, one of the great fathers of the faith. And Moses has an interesting story. He was born a Hebrew to Hebrew parents, but he was raised by the Pharaoh's daughter and was used by God to free the Israelites from slavery in Egypt and lead them into the desert for 40 years as they journeyed on to the promised land. And Moses was a man who was used by God in incredible ways and greatly shapes our story as God's people. But he was in no way perfect. We're told that he had a speech deficit so bad that he had to have his brother talk for him publicly. And he had issues with anger, so much so that he lashed out and killed an Egyptian soldier from anger and injustice. And we're told that he disobeyed God at Meribah, not believing in God's faithfulness. Because of that, he never got to see the promised land. But imperfections aside, he was used by God because of his dependence and trust in God and his daily turning to God for his every need. And that's what we're invited to do today. So as we read his story, I invite you to consider the Israelites' journey into the desert and how Moses was forced to trust God daily for his every need. Exodus 16. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. And there we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food that we wanted. But you have brought us out into the desert to starve this entire assembly to death." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you. And the people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. And in this day, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions." Then Moses told Aaron, "Say to the entire Israelite community, 'Come before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling.'" And while Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked towards the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. The Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread, and then you will know that I am the Lord your God." That evening, quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp, and when the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat, and this is what the Lord has commanded. Everyone is to gather as much as they need. Take an omer for each person you have in your tent." The Israelites did what they were told. Some gathered much and some little. And when they measured it by the omer, the ones who gathered much did not have too much, and the ones who gathered little did not have too little. And everyone had gathered just as much as they needed. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Anyone who's ever been on a road trip with a car full of kids will relate to Moses in this story. I imagine the whining that was coming from the back seat. "Are we there yet? How much longer? I have to go to the bathroom. Jimmy's bothering me again." This constant refrain of traveling with irritated and impatient children, complaining, whining, the grumbling that comes from the back seat. And it wasn't just the kids who were whining, it was all of Israel. Our scripture tells us that in the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron, that the Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. At least there we sat around and ate pots of meat and ate all the food that we wanted. But you've brought us out into this desert to starve the entire assembly to death. Moses, what were you thinking?" Poor Moses, defending himself the best he can. "I brought you out of slavery. I freed you from oppression. We took a road trip to Disney. What else do you want from me? I've given you everything you desired." Whine, whine, whine. "It would have been better if we had died in Egypt, or if we had just stayed slaves there. At least we weren't starving, Moses." I can hear the kids in the back seat. "Did we bring enough snacks? I want to stop for lunch. I'm hungry now." Moses. Sorry, guys, we got a long way to go. 40 more years, in fact. Poor Moses. I don't know how he did it. I don't know how God did it, hearing this whiny and grumbling congregation complaining against him after God had just shown them how great he was, parting the Red Sea and freeing them from Pharaoh. Why didn't the Israelites know to trust him? If I was God, I would have struck them down where they stood. But God withheld his anger and judgment, showed much better restraint than I would have, and did something unexpected. Instead of getting angry with the Israelites or punishing them or getting mad at them, he gave in to their complaints. It didn't matter that the Israelites were being a little melodramatic. They said, "Was it because there were no graves in Israel or in Egypt that you took us all the way out here to die in the desert? What were you thinking? We would prefer to die than to have to go through this journey." But God didn't lose his temper. He didn't get mad with them. He didn't strike them down. But he saw through their complaining and saw to the root of the problem, what they really needed. And he saw that the people were rebelling because they were hungry, because their stomachs were grumbling. They were in desperate need of food. And so, like any good father, God met this need with love, abundant love. And he literally rained food down from the sky to feed his people. And every morning, for 40 years, the Israelites would awake to this mysterious bread that would coat the ground. And whatever they gathered was enough for that day. And day by day, God provided for their needs. Every day, always enough, everything they needed. God didn't put condition or restrictions on this. He didn't blame them or punish them, but he provided abundantly and generously for his people, even though all they did was complain. I think a lot of Christians feel bad about complaining. We think it's wrong if we complain or gripe to God. We believe that we need to just have enough faith and everything will work out okay. Or we see our own problems and then know somebody else's problems are worse than ours, so we don't want to bother God with what's wrong with us. Sometimes I think we even believe that if we were just better Christians, that our life would be better. So that if maybe there's something wrong with us, it's our fault and not God's fault. And so we hesitate to complain or to bring our petitions to God. But this is just not true. God probably doesn't appreciate the whining and the grumbling quite so much, but he encourages us to come boldly before him, to lay our needs at his feet. The psalmist teaches us that the Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all that he does, that the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth, that the Lord fulfills the desires of those who fear him, and he hears their cry and saves them. We know from the scriptures that the Lord our God is a faithful God. He cares about what happens to us. And he hears our cries. The book of Hebrews tells us that in Christ we have a Savior who understands our struggles, that's been through the hardships that we have been through, and he can advocate on our behalf, so that therefore we can approach God's throne of grace with confidence that we will receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Because of Christ, not only do we have somebody who understands our pains, but who helps us when we can't help ourselves. The scriptures are full of people who boldly go before God with their complaints and their grumbles and their anger and ask for God's help. Think of Job or the Book of Lamentations or so many of our Psalms where God encourages us to cry out to him and to seek him. People pouring out their hearts to God laying their deepest desires before him. And God invites us to do the same, to bring our whole selves to him, and to trust that he loves and cares for us and will provide for our deepest needs. Oftentimes we think of complaint as being turning away from God, when really it's just the opposite. When we complain to God, we believe that God listens, and that he can do something to help us in our need. And we are invited to complain when we have something to complain about. When God invites us to tell him what's wrong, to surrender to his power and authority, and to believe that he is our good, good Father. In complaining and bringing our petitions to him, we trust that God hears our cries, that he cares about what happens to us next. The desert was a hard place for the Israelites to live, a harsh environment, uncertain future, a loss of all that was familiar and loved in Egypt. And they needed God to step in and to provide for them, to guide their steps and to fill their bellies and to reassure them that their future was secure. And for us today, even though our tummies might not be grumbling and we aren't surrounded by desert, God still invites us to come because we also have many struggles, many things that we need God to intervene for, to provide for us. We have the need for meaningful relationships, the need to have a purpose and a place to use our gifts in this world. We have the need to feel safe and secure. We have the need to know that our futures are accounted for. And God honors these needs, and he hears us when we cry out to him. He might not always answer our prayers exactly how we would like him to answer our prayers, but he gives us the very best thing for us. Remember, the Israelites wanted to go back to Egypt. That was their solution to their problem. But God gave them so much better. He gave them abundant bread and rich food and delicious meat, things to satisfy them and to bless them abundantly. So when we pray to God for particular things, a particular job or a particular relationship or a particular answer to our problems, God might not answer exactly how we think he should, but he'll give us something better. He'll give us the true bread from heaven that all of us need and desire, and that will fill us like nothing else can. And in fact, in Jesus, we have something even better than this manna that the Israelites had. We have the bread of life that will never disappoint us. Jesus says in the Gospel of John, "I am the bread of life, and whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never go thirsty." We are invited to eat of this bread of life and to be sustained to the depths of our soul, to have God fulfill every need that we could ever have. And in fact, in Christ, we are given this freedom. We're told that Jesus is our good shepherd, that he guides and protects us and leads us on our way. We're told that Jesus is the true vine, the one that connects us to God, gives us strength and sustenance for the days ahead. We know that Jesus is the light of the world, that in this dark and broken world, that God leads our steps, gives us wisdom and direction. And we know that Christ is the resurrection and the life, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but will have eternal life. Our invitation today is to come to God, to receive this gift of bread, and to boldly present our requests to God as Moses did so many years ago, holding nothing back and trusting that he hears our cries, that he meets us in our time of need. And so that's what we do today as we come before God's table, as we receive this gift of bread, the gift that never disappoints, the gift that always satisfies, the gift that is always true and good. And we humble ourselves before God, inviting his mercy to come into our lives. Join me now in prayer. God, we thank you that we can come to you this morning and that you do hear us, that you love us and you care about us and that you want good things for us. Over and over again, you have shown your love and faithfulness. You have showered us with your blessings, day after day, week after week, year after year. We thank you that you have given us this table where we can feast upon you, receive this bread of life and be filled. God, we ask that as we come to this table and receive this gift, that we would be encouraged, strengthened, and satisfied as we follow you all the days of our life. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.